Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around. Listen up. It's going to be great.
Hello, H-Town. Welcome. Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You're in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. The truth is, Houston is not that hot right now. It is beautiful. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. Officially condone putting up your Christmas tree now. It's no problem. Enjoy. I'm going to be bringing Miss Tana Bennett in a minute on the show. She is an artist in the silos, a classically trained painter who has transitioned into ceramics, has an exhibition in CV that reads for 20 minutes. It's impressive. Having participated in shows across Houston and the country, and I'm excited that she's agreed to come talk to us about all the good stuff that she does. She is located in the silos next to me. I'm in the Winter Street Studios upstairs in 18. For anyone who's not listened to this podcast before, just so you know, we're part of the Sawyer Yards Arts District. There's 5 buildings here. We're open every second Saturday. You could come speak with the artist directly, peruse the art, buy the art, commission pieces, do whatever you need to have locally made art direct from the artist. It doesn't get any better than that. You're actually skipping any middlemen that might be involved. You know, it's fantastic. And if you don't know about it yet, you should. If this is the first time you listen to the podcast, please tell your friends. We'll be launching a party soon, celebrating the commencement of this podcast. So listen up. Everyone, you are in Rhonda's Lounge with Tana Bennett. I have introduced her as a classically trained artist who has transitioned into sculpture and ceramics, and I am extremely excited that she is here, because when I say classically trained, I kid you not. She's a draftsman extraordinaire. It translates well in her sculpture and ceramics. She has extremely accurate heads, if I may say so myself. How important is it to get that right? Right?
It is.
It is very important. Anyway, she's here to talk to us. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Rhonda. I'm glad to be here, and it's such a beautiful day here in Houston.
It is a beautiful day. I love it when it's like this. Yes. I get to open the window. Hopefully you won't break into a sweat. That's usually been my cutoff on my interviews with the ladies, especially. They're like, the fine mist of perspiration on the top of their lips.
It's light. Perfect.
Thank you. Thank you. I did just visit your studio over in the silos, Studio 317.
Yes.
I think I've mastered the silos. Like, there's the 300 bay, the 200 bay, the 100 bay. It doesn't mean you're upstairs. You're in one of the original studios for the silos, which opened up about 3 years ago.
Yes.
And you're on the East End near Winter Street.
That's great.
I actually was going to be in those studios. This studio came up, but I always try to keep I'm keeping track of everybody right now, okay? I'm the police. I want to know what's going on.
Right.
Anyway, but a beautiful space located in the East End of the Silos, Bay 300, Studio 317.
Yes.
Are you open on second Saturdays?
We are, and any other special events that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, we use that space as our exhibition space.
Mm-hmm.
And I do
It's beautiful.
Thank you. And I do have another studio space that's behind my house where I do all the ceramic work and the clay work and paintings inside the house.
Oh, great. I started painting inside the house, too. It's just like, I want to paint 24 hours a day.
Yes.
And just getting to an external space or a studio outside your home that's a whole nother conversation. We
yes.
could write a book on it, right?
Exactly.
It's great to have a space, but it's good to be working. Exactly. When you wake up in the middle of the night or whatever you want to do, yes, right?
Exactly.
So this is your private space that you have at home where you work.
Yes.
You aren't, you are, the silos is where you invite people and have, it really is a gallery space. It's
yes.
beautiful.
Thank you.
So second Saturday, you guys need to come out and check that out. So how long have you been in ceramics and sculpture?
Ceramics, I started that journey a couple of years ago, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it's something, there was a long gap in between working in ceramics and returning back to it.
Really?
So the journey began.
Did life have something to do with that?
Oh, always.
Of course.
Always. Life is a journey. You live long enough, you do quite a few things.
You've been lucky.
Exactly.
Right?
That's true. I feel fortunate. I really do.
I hope so. And I'm trying to feel fortunate too about growing older, even looking older. Who gives a beep?
We don't care anymore.
We don't care anymore.
We don't care about other people's opinions anymore.
No, you know. But it's important to have that attitude because it's going to inform your work too, right?
So yes, it does.
3 years ago, you transitioned into sculpture and ceramics.
Yes.
Was there something that happened, or was it, I mean, this hiatus that you had been on, had you not wanted to return to painting right away?
I think with the painting part, I felt that I didn't have the passion for it mm-hmm. at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I don't know. Maybe I was not following my inner voice
mm-hmm.
on working with certain subject matters. And for me to work with a different material gave me that opportunity to explore my subject matter completely differently.
Nice.
And the beautiful thing about it is after working in ceramics and 3D and understanding the technical aspects of working with ceramics, meaning firing it, drawing it, working with it from beginning to end, now I'm returning back to painting with a different attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that passion back,
mm-hmm.
Back to that roots where I did go through classical training. I sought out teachers to learn how to paint that way
mm-hmm.
when it wasn't popular.
Mm-hmm.
And that journey began about 1995.
Nice.
And it was at the time the Academy of Realist Art in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
Washington.
Mm.
And I went, oh my God, this painting, it's beautiful. It's beautifully painted. And I just stared at it and went, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to. I think I've met my people.
Right. Your tribe.
Exactly. So I did. I signed up for the class, and Gary Fagan started the school. He's probably known for his book on facial expressions
mm-hmm.
And drawing mm-hmm. facial expressions. And so when I went up there, here's Tony, and I'm a fish out of water. I haven't a clue what's happening. And I just felt I was in my element. So
wow.
I started training by taking workshops up there. I think it's now the Gage Academy
okay.
in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
But at that time.
Is that the Juliet Aristides?
She's one of the teachers, or,
okay.
or still is. I'm not quite
yeah.
sure. I'm
yeah.
not associated with it anymore. But yes, at that time, it was all these students passing through. So I followed Tony to different places, including Santa Fe, New Mexico, and started studying with him. And he finally said, well, I think you need to study with Ted Seth Jacobs.
Oh, wow.
And so when I applied, it took 3 years
wow.
to wait mm-hmm. For the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go.
And Ted was at this time in France.
That's correct.
He was originally in New York, where Tony met him.
Yes.
At the Art Students League of New York.
Yes.
And he was going back and forth to France, as I understand, but then he finally just stayed there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a little town called, and forgive my French, I've forgotten it, but Les Circus sous Possevant.
C'est bon.
So, yeah, it's pretty.
Tu parles français très bien. Wow. Okay.
So that just blew open the doors. You know, when you go through an experience like that, a 10-month intensive training, you come back sort of lost. I mean,
wow.
You're part of this special tribe. You go back. But then I continued painting and then opened up a gallery in Santa Fe, New Mexico with another artist friend.
Okay.
And we stayed there for a couple years. And after 5 years, we've decided to just put our energy in our own work.
Okay.
So I painted for quite some time in different places.
Wow.
New Mexico's.
That's
San Francisco,
impressive.
Then back to Houston.
That's
so.
Impressive. You are a Houstonian, after
yes,
all.
Yes, I am.
You had to get back where all the cool people are.
That's right. I was actually born in Pasadena, Texas,
there,
y'all.
That's a real Texan right
so,
there.
There you go.
When you talk about a 10-month program, you're not talking about Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 2 to 4. You are talking about 9 to 12. You do get to eat.
Yes,
a break.
A nice coffee
like
break.
A six-hour day.
Yes,
Monday
correct.
Through Friday.
Correct.
And I'm sure the weekends, there was some prep or something. You didn't just, you sketched.
You sketched.
You went to the cafes or wherever and sketched.
Well,
and
this town was so small it did not have a cafe. So
wow.
You would have to go to into the neighboring town and have a cup of coffee in the bar.
Okay.
Or like some of us would go to the local markets and buy our foods and... some of us continued because we wanted to learn more. We would study anatomy on the off time, or we would sketch and paint each other,
right.
And just continue. Mm-hmm. And yes, it takes that type of rigorous training, whether you're studying or doing your own work at home, is just constantly, you know, working that brain and that
That's
hand
right.
and
mm-hmm.
and. Using your body as a tool.
Observation is an underrated skill.
Yes.
I think we could draw an analogy with the witnesses, how they've failed, and there's so many people incarcerated that are innocent because he did it.
Yeah.
He had red hair.
Right.
It was parted on the left side. I remember it distinctly.
Exactly.
And as artists, realist
yes.
artists, you're, I'm sure you'd, I'm very interested in this phenomenon of when I'm looking at something and when I turn away from it, how I'm not so good at it.
Yes.
These 19th century painters were phenomenal for that skill. A little bit pre-photography. Pre-photography where they were, their observation was amazing.
Yes.
Soroya, are you kidding me?
Yes.
I mean,
oh my goodness, the whites.
Just,
what can you say? You can make things glow from the canvas.
I know, and you know that light was so fleeting. So
yes.
It's just amazing.
Yes.
So, and that observation skill also, it's so taxing because of the brain activity that's
right.
going on too. No one thinks about all that. It's just incredibly difficult.
It is difficult, but also understanding the body. I must have, I don't know, 20... plus anatomy books.
Wow.
And you know, it's how the head turns and what do the muscles do.
Mm-hmm.
Can I name them all? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I'm working on, really understanding that. The last sculpture I did was more realistic of a woman reclining,
mm-hmm.
which is at Mother Dog Studios now. With presented during Art Crawl.
You just participated in Art Crawl?
That's correct.
Okay.
And this is the new beginning of kind of narrative sculptures that I've been talking about past 6 years, maybe,
mm-hmm.
plus. And my journey in the ceramics, you know, I did vessels and all that. Now I'm getting back to figurative. And when that body twist,
mm-hmm.
when those... how the waist twists when it's laying down on the ground and that neck when it's twisted in another direction, it is kind of the story, the language of the body,
mm-hmm.
but when it's off, it looks strange.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look quite right.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not, moving correctly. So now I'm back into anatomy again.
Yeah.
And really trying to understand that. And it's
and Ted wrote a book on anatomy.
He did.
Did he have the inner curve when he called it?
Yes.
I've heard Tony talk about the inner curve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beginning and endings of how, you know, the muscles come towards you and then turn away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all these, structures that are underneath the skin that happen that tell the story as well. You know, what the mood of the person, how the person is in movement.
Did you do in crochet? Am I saying that correctly?
No, I did not.
Okay.
That is something that I think is really beneficial. And I did find a sculptor that I recently studied with. We just did the portrait, but he teaches a class doing that so you can understand the muscles of the body. And actually,
here in Houston?
No, unfortunately, he's in New York.
Oh.
And excuse me, Philip, if I say the last name incorrectly, I'm looking at my mind, but it's Faro, Faraut, excuse me.
Okay.
And you can look at that online, and I believe he teaches that.
Okay.
And of course, other options is to go off to the, Florence Academy.
Of course. Wow.
And beyond. So.
You only studied painting with Ted.
Yes.
But obviously, all this anatomy has informed immensely.
Yes.
The ceramics and sculpture. On your website, I saw, or maybe your Facebook, you had a residency in a ceramics place in Montana, or maybe just speak to your education,
right.
Your furthered education in sculpture, ceramics. Okay.
All right. Well, I had the opportunity to go up to the Archie Bray Foundation, was in Helena, Montana, and it was my first, I guess you can say, ceramic class working in large-scale sculpture. I have no idea what I was getting into when I took that class.
They were very big. You have
yes,
good pictures
very,
on that. Yeah.
Very large. But it was the community at the Archie Bray Foundation, which had all the legacy of, you know, ceramic, great ceramic people who passed through. And being there in that element and with the enthusiastic students that came from all over the United States, including Canada, and you're just there for 2 weeks, working conditions, and you have this phenomenal strength that happens working from the morning until, I would stay till almost midnight.
Wow.
And just lived and breathed inside the studio and pushed myself beyond I thought I could ever go and make something that large. And since then, I think that piece has been fired and put together, and I think it's outdoor somewhere, you know, among all the other famous ceramic artists that have passed through, which is great.
It is great.
Then after that, I was invited to a residency program up in Portland, Maine. Or near Portland, Maine, called Watershed Center for Ceramic Arts.
Oh, okay.
It was more of an open study, but this group from Tulsa, Oklahoma, went there. One of the University of Tulsa professors went with her students, and I went in there with an open mind, but met some incredible ceramic artists, you know, young as well as older. And I learned a lot from the young people by watching what they're doing, working with clay. Some were videotaping the process.
Mm-hmm.
Others were, using ceramic art almost like with street art attitude, if that could be done, which a little bit of graffiti on it, which worked.
I conjure something in my brain that, I can see that.
It really worked. And then another young gentleman, just took a slip casting class from another residency program in Maine, and he was, using all that he learned and doing slip cast pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, we only have 2 weeks, you know, from beginning to end. So a lot of pieces didn't make it on my part. So I just took them out to the woods and left them.
Oh,
you know, which is great. But it was about the process. And I think I'm finally getting about art is the process is so important. Mm-hmm. Not the end result, not that, you know, skip from working on the piece and is it going to sell?
Right.
You know, how am I going to market it? It's that journey in between that.
Right.
And that's what I'm embracing now, is understanding that process, working on those series that I've had in my mind for so long. And it's like, do it.
Right.
You know, just do it. Catch up on the technical skills, but do those stories that are in my head.
Yeah, that's great. You, I cannot express the abilities that you have. I mean, I'm going to encourage everyone to visit her studio, her gallery studio. It's so nice. You share. You have a studio mate, and she's also equally talented.
Yes, her name is Vivian Pastor, and I think she's incredible ceramic artist. And since we started sharing together, we've grown together as well.
That's great.
And
that's great.
Great respect for Vivian.
I love that you're talking about the process, because the most discouragement I get usually is when you do think about the end result.
Yes.
Like, what are you going to do with this? I mean, I'm looking at a pile of paintings on the floor over there. I'm telling you what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to put them in the dumpster because I don't have any woods to drop them off in. But it's like that book that's so popular. I only know a little bit about the, what is it? The Beautiful Art of Tidying Up or something like that. And she honors these, like, get rid of stuff. Like, she honors it. Thank you for being here. You taught me something, but you don't serve me anymore, and I want to move on. And that's kind of what we're saying. But I love the idea of the process being the experience. I love, first of all, thinking of a painting, and you said you've got them in your head.
Oh, yes.
That's the hardest part, almost.
Yeah.
And
stories,
then,
I don't have a problem filling with my head.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Sometimes I think I used all of my, like,
no.
No. But, and then I know that I really want to get to the drawing part. I love the drawing, you know, and then you fight with the drawing.
Yes.
And then you can't wait to ink it in, and then I dream of what I'm going to mix for whatever portion of the painting or whatever, you know what I mean? I lay in bed at night and I think about it.
That's part of the process of it.
Sometimes I'm like, if someone was peeking in my brain right now, they'd be like, cadmium red and yellow ochre is so passé. Like, can't you think of something else? But I'm like, no, it's just beginning.
No,
but anyway, you can relate to the brain waves that I'm talking about.
I definitely can relate to that. I will dream and think about it. And the greatest dishonor I think I could do to myself is not go out there and work, whether it's cleaning up the studio, you know.
I cleaned the studio for you.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful. And I wanted to say that, of course, you can't see this, the window's open and the breeze is coming in on this beautiful day, and it's just lovely. And you can see the curtain just kind of flowing and billowing with the wind there. It's just beautiful.
I love that window.
I do too. I just love it.
You know, I love those Wyeth paintings of the windows.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
I always want to paint this window, but it's kind of overwhelming.
I love Wyeth's paintings.
Me too.
It's such a sense of mystery in his work. And
we're talking about Andrew?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like that it's, the story is there, but it's open for interpretation. And that's very hard to do. It's that subtlety of, you know, something that catches someone's eye and it compels them to go back and
I think it's what people miss in realism, though.
Yes.
They think you're telling them the whole entire
story.
No,
you don't need to.
No.
Yeah.
It is open for interpretation.
Exactly.
And expression, too.
Yes.
So it's a misnomer. You think that's a proper way to say it? It's a misconception.
Yeah.
It's a misconception. and try not to get all radical about that idea. But
I think that being radical is good.
Yeah.
I think it's called passion.
Yeah.
You know, being passionate of what you believe in. And that's what happened with the ceramic. I went into a little bit more abstract.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back into the classical realism because it does draw me in.
Mm-hmm.
I want that sense of mystery and mm-hmm. what's going on behind that. So this idea I have in my head that I plan to do in painting as well as in ceramic is women of the past. I have tons of photographs of women in my family, that sense of history, you know, Amarillo, Texas in 1920.
Oh my gosh.
And all that area.
I'm already interested.
Yes.
Do
it. And where my great-grandmother learned to survive with my grandmother. And I had the opportunity to know both of them and talk with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They lived a good long life.
Wow.
Mamaw, my grandmother, passed away last year at 95. So I got all these wonderful, juicy stories.
Wow.
And my great-grandmother, Nanny, who passed in 87. So I heard her stories as well. You know, how did they survive during the Dust Bowl?
Wow.
And being divorced. And
children,
you know, hairdresser, and Mamaw being a small girl that Nanny would work in the soup kitchens in order to get that ham sandwich to bring home to my, you know, my Mamaw. And
I love those stories.
Yes, sir.
My grandfather just died in July, and he was 100.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
you did hear those stories.
I did. I heard. Actually, you're making me think of one because he was on a farm in South Louisiana. And we asked about the Great Depression and, you know, how'd they make it. And he goes, he did fine because, and he realized he was better because he was on a farm. They had their farm animals. They grazed. I mean, the like feeding the animals wasn't that difficult and the animals fed the family. And he's like, I went to school every day with a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
The city boys were like, you know, eating a, you know, splitting a can of beans or something or whatever they did.
You're
like,
right.
That's inaccurate. But, yeah,
yes, you're
that
right.
is impressionable.
Yeah, something so basic. And
right.
You're so grateful
right.
for that, especially in this materialistic
That's right.
society.
That's what he taught me. It's like wherever you come from, too. It's
exactly.
like you've got something to offer from that experience. You know, maybe you had a silver spoon in your mouth, but maybe you had to put an ad in the newspaper because you lost a shoe
mm-hmm.
after the flood of 1927, and the depression was, you know, about to rage, and on and on, and you just were poor because you lived on Hog Island, which is another story. That's my grandmother's stories to me. So I look forward to that work.
Yeah.
I want you to do that. That
I
sounds
definitely.
Amazing.
And that's the whole thing is when you honor yourself is work out those ideas because, I mean, it stayed in my head. It's still, you know, it's still not out there. I feel like my skills have caught up, at least in ceramic.
Okay.
And the more classes that I take, the more I learn, the more I challenge myself, I realize that I can make these larger scale sculptures and fire them in a kiln without blowing them up. And luckily, I've only had one major blow up by one of my adult students, which was horrific, but after that you learn a whole lot.
Sweet.
You know, why did that happen? So now I'm at the point I feel comfortable and doing the, like I said, the larger scale, much more realistic figures.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
a figure, I watched it evolve, I guess on Facebook maybe, and I want you to tell everyone how to find you too on Facebook, Instagram, but it's a reclining figure. I watched it evolve. I thought it was going to be just the figure, and then you added the flowers to it.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Where is that figure right now?
The figure is at Mother Dog Scoop
That's
Studios.
The one you're talking about.
Yes, I think it's there until February.
Okay.
That this exhibition will be up. The flowers were added because it's the Flower and Garden Show, and I promised John I would, you know, do this phenomenal sculpture.
Okay.
And that was challenging because we had something called Harvey and then Mom moving in after a house flooded. But no matter what, you get those deadlines done.
That's amazing.
You know, you make a commitment, because I had one big installation piece and the piece at Art Crawl. So basically I had 4 weeks to do that female reclining sculpture, produce it, carve it out, hollow it out and carve out the inside, dry it, not too rapidly, but rapidly enough to make it dry enough, and then put it in the kiln, and then bring it out, and then of course delivery about, I think it was 4 or 5 days before Art Crawl, and poor John was sweating bullets, but you do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that you do follow through with your commitments unless tragic happens.
I work good with deadlines.
Yes,
actually,
I do too.
If I don't have anything going on.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't get anything done.
Doing shows definitely keeps you motivated and active.
Yes.
I know it's a motivator for me, because I can, you know, let a lot of things distract me.
Sure.
And I...
Happy hour at noon. Are you kidding me?
I used to do that. But now with the kombucha happy hour.
There you go. Tell me about... So we know Mother Dog Studios, which is located downtown Houston.
Yes.
And you're talking about John Runnels?
Yes, yes.
John is a famous Houstonian, if
yes,
you ask
he
me.
Is. Yeah. He and Charlie Jean run Mother Dog Studios. It's one of the oldest warehouses in the city of Houston that's been continuously ongoing.
And so I
had a studio there a year. And
you did.
It was
with
great.
No air conditioning.
Yes, it was hot and cold. But I appreciate that time. But ended up, I was able to have a studio behind my house, and I love my dogs around me.
Nice.
I love my little children, and I always honor that place as was my first studio when I moved back to Houston from California.
That's great. So, I should have moved in there.
Yeah.
I had that chance, but I think I visited June, July, and I thought, it's
true.
Don't think I could do it.
You will melt.
But I did really like talking to John, and
yes.
He had some drawings in his studio, and this was really a long time ago, before I really got directed, let me say, pre-Tony Ryder.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to do that.
And he has a great drafting skills himself, and he loves realism, and that's why we connected.
Yeah.
And he was so excited to have this figure for Art Crawl. But because I push myself, it's like, okay, now I can continue doing more sculptures like that.
And you mentioned another exhibit with a large installation. Where is that?
That is in the silos currently.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. It's called Fired Up, a sculpture from the silos, and there are 4 ceramic sculptors, and we each have different installations in this. It's called Gallery 2. It's kind of the middle atrium of the silos, and we were fortunate enough to be given this space, and we made our work in that space, even though we're different, but it somehow it works together.
It's very cohesive.
It is very cohesive.
Yes.
And I did put myself out there doing a little bit more abstract, but I still threw in that realism with
I was going to say, you have some beautifully sculpted little hands. And
they were all individually sculpted.
I wanted to ask you if you had molded them or anything.
I did not. I was tempted, but there was this part of me to learn to sculpt the individual hands and the noses and the eyes and the lips, so I learned.
Right.
And I can practice and just, you know, look at the structure and just make them over and over again. So I don't remember exactly how many hands and noses.
I love your work, and it's because another reason I love realism. Of course, I love realism. It's my heart. But the pieces that you have there, you abstracted and pulled in realistic work as well, and you also had some concepts in there.
Yes.
I read about your walks and how nature has inspired those pieces, especially, and I'm sure lots and lots of things. And the focus was on man clashing with nature, I guess, yes. is the way to say it, by, you know, polluting the environment. And you twisted that, too,
yes.
because I did not know what that piece was behind the sculpture. I thought it was some beautiful weave of some sort, some textile of something. And tell me what that really is. Tell okay. the listeners what that really
okay.
is.
Okay, all right. Well, I live in the Houston Heights area, and one of the parks there is called Woodland Park. And it a little White Oak Bio flows through there and then connects up to the big White Oak Bio. But this park, you can actually walk down to, it looks like really a creek more mm-hmm. than a bio that comes off little White Oak Bio that goes through the park. And I walk through there, I've seen changes, but every time there's a flood, trash is just distributed all over in the trees. And I mean, we're talking about maybe 20 feet from the creek bottom on up, and you just see trash, plastic bags, wrappers from plastic bottles, and styrofoam and everything. And in this little beautiful park, it's a sanctuary to animals, turtles and birds, and just amazing abundance of wildlife. And it's so sad to see, where's this trash coming from?
Mm-hmm.
I think up the stream, people dump their trash in it, what I understand, or and then it flows down and ends up into all of our water system. But it's real sad to see that, you know, the tires down there.
I mean, yeah.
How did the tire flow through there, or somebody chuck it
yeah.
from up above down below? So there is this connection of wildlife, what we use. I ride my bicycle a lot through all the trails, and you see where we're trying to get it right, mm-hmm. but we're still missing the boat somehow, and plastic needs to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So after one of these floods, not Harvey, it was the flood before that we had, and I was picking the plastic bags, but unfortunately they were already, you know, falling apart. So I did take plastic bags, and I weaved together in a rug all these plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
And so behind it is like a giant weaved rug. I believe it's about 36 inches across. And then in between that is the ceramic piece with the hand sculpted like tree, mm-hmm. Not vines,
but branches.
Thank you very
mm-hmm.
much. And then in that also are the sculpted hands,
yeah.
small and all that, because the park is living and breathing.
Right.
It fills. The trees communicate with one another. The wildlife communicates. We communicate with it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you walk through it, you can't help but feel joyous.
Right.
And connected when you see
right.
All the nature.
Yes. If you're depressed, go for a walk.
Exactly.
Or by
ride.
In the woods.
Exactly.
It really helps.
Zoom along the trails.
But the pieces are very
Thank
beautiful.
You.
The whole show is really nice. The silos has another sculpture show within the silos, the actual silos that I went through the other day, also very interesting.
Yes.
Your space is so interesting.
Thank you.
So I think people would be remiss not to come down and visit,
yes.
don't you think?
I think so.
So tell us, are you in a gallery anywhere or
no,
represented by any outside?
No, not at the time. I'm just pulled back from exhibiting and you know, outside of Texas. I'm just, I pulled back from doing that, and so I can reevaluate what I'm doing, which I think is very healthy
sure.
in a long career of doing art, especially when I stopped painting. I actually exhibited regularly with watercolor shows. I learned to paint with watercolors, and that was my medium for a long time.
You have
after
two
oils.
Awesome watercolors hanging up
you.
In the outside of her studio, which
Thank
is, a, I guess, another exhibit within the silos.
Yes.
It's really beautiful, and I commented to you that I love watercolorists that paint like old painters.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
Very opaque, very nice, very nice.
You're right. I mean, watercolors, you can really take it to, it doesn't have to be so washy. You could be extremely rich and jewel-like.
Absolutely.
And you could be very precise with it as well.
Absolutely. And that's demonstrated in your work.
And well, Wyeth as well can demonstrate watercolors as well, can make it, from a distance, it could look like an oil.
Yes.
And
back to the narratives in paintings, the two paintings you have hanging are something you don't have the plaques of, so I didn't get to read anything. You can stand in front of that painting and make up a lot of things on your own, obviously, because there's a lot of elements in it that are interesting, extremely rich. That's a good piece of art that feeds a viewer's imagination. You don't want to go read. If I see too many words, I'm like, no.
You're right.
You don't have to have too many words. But yes, I want everyone to come on Second Saturday. We'll have our Christmas celebration on the next Second Saturday, 12 to 5.
Exactly.
You are in Studio 317.
Yes.
Short hop, skip, and a jump away from me. So
yes.
Please come visit. Both of us, that would be super. You wouldn't believe, you know how long we've talked?
No, how long?
We've had a little bit of a conversation
here,
my friend.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. And here I was worried I wouldn't have enough to say.
No, I think we can go on, actually, but we have a good 45 minutes under our belt.
Oh my goodness, it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. You've been fantastic.
Thank you.
I appreciate you sharing with us so much.
You're welcome.
I'll have to have you on again if you can come up with some juicy stories about Ted. That'd be super. We better not tell.
Yeah,
we better not tell.
We keep those secrets back in France, okay?
There you go. What happens in France
stays in France. That's right.
Restez en France.
That's right.
So anyway, I want to thank you extremely much.
Thank you. Same here.
I need to go back to grammar school, don't you think?
No, I think we should just be ourselves.
Just let it go.
Who wants a tight, scripted interview? That boring.
We're here today.
I know. Exactly.
I thank you. It's been great. And again, Second Saturday, 12 to 5.
Second Saturday, exactly.
Thank you.
See you there. Thank you very much.